Sex Midas, Parak Base Mishnah Gimel, Follow Parak Base Mishnah Vov. This parak is laying out the measurements of the different parts of Harabayis, going from the outside, which is the Harabayis itself, the 500 by 500 amas area enclosed by a wall which had sanctity, and it's going inwards towards the actual building of the Beis HaMikdash, further inwards until we reach the Kodesh HaKodashim, which is the holiest part and innermost part of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Mishnah says, after having described the measurements of Harabayis itself, that Lifnim Menu, further inwards from the Harabayis, was Soyreg Gavoya Asar Tfachim, the Soyreg, which was a kind of fence, which was 10 Tfachim tall, and this fence was made of wooden planks, which were in a crisscross layout, each of the wooden planks going diagonally. And we're going to understand that this was purely for beautification purposes. And according to most, this surrounded the entire Beis HaMikdash. And as we're going to see in the continuation of the Mishnah, it was situated 10 amos, roughly 5 meters, away from the walls of the Beis HaMikdash, the walls of the courtyard. Now, it's important to note that the significance of the more inner parts and how the Mishnah over here is splitting the different parts of the Beis HaMikdash and Harabayis into different parts is because the Mishnah Maseches Kelim teaches that each different part, and the further inwards that you go in towards the Beis HaMikdash and the Kodesh HaKodashim, the higher the level of sanctity that exists, and therefore there are more people who are precluded from entering into that area. For example, non-Jews are not permitted to go further than the Soyreg. And interestingly, when the Greeks took over the Beis HaMikdash in the times of the Hanukkah story, they obviously were not pleased about this law, and there were 13 breaches, 13 holes which were made in this fence, the Soyreg, that the kings of Greece, the Greek Empire, made the holes in that fence in order to do an act against this law, which prevented non-Jews from entering further inwards beyond the Soyreg. Chazu Agdorum, when the Chashmonaim, the Jewish people, overtook, they regained the Beis HaMikdash, so they obviously replaced and fixed those parts of the fences, but the Gozu Kenegdom Shlishtei Shtachavoyos, they decreed 13 bows corresponding to them, meaning whenever somebody would pass by a place in the fence where a hole had been made and had now been fixed, they would be obligated to bow down. And this was a sign of appreciation for Hashem's miracle of allowing them to regain the Beis HaMikdash. Continues the mission, Lefnim Imenu, more inwards from the Soyreg, the fence, was Hachel, the area of called the Chel, which also surrounded the entire Beis HaMikdash and was 10 amos wide or long, meaning there was a distance of 10 amos in between the fence, the Soyreg, and the walls of the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. Ushtemesri Mali Soyusham, and there were 12 steps within the Chel leading up towards the walls of the Beis HaMikdash. Rum Hamal or Chatzi Amor, the height of each of the steps was half an Amor, the Shilcho Chatzi Amor, and the horizontal area on which one stood was also half an Amor, which means that altogether the 12 steps took up a horizontal space of 6 Amos. So the Chel itself was made up of 4 Amos of flat area, and then there were 12 steps leading all the way up to the wall of the courtyard. And now the Mishnah goes slightly sidetracked to tell us that Kol HaMaalei Shayusham, all of the steps which were in the Beis HaMikdash, which we're going to meet in the future parts of the Masechta as well, Rum Maalo Chatzi Amor, the height of every step was half an Amor, the Shilcho Chatzi Amor, and the horizontal area on which one stood was also half an Amor wide, Chutz Mishal Ulam, except for the steps leading up to the Ulam, which is the area just in front of the Heichal, which is the actual building of the Beis HaMikdash. At the edge of the courtyard, one would go through a curtain, and beyond that curtain was an area called the Ulam, which was very wide, but not so long, and on the other side of the Ulam would be the gates to entering into the Heichal, which again is the actual building of the Beis HaMikdash. So the steps which led from the courtyard to the Ulam had different dimensions, and those will be discussed later on in the Masechta. The Mishnah now lists a couple of other differences between the Ulam and the rest of the Beis HaMikdash. All of the entrances And the gates, which were in the Beis HaMikdash, Govhon Esrim Amor, had a height of 20 Amos, Verochmon Esrim Amos, and a width of 10 Amos. Chutz Mishal Ulam, except for the entrance way into the Ulam, which was much larger. Kol HaPesachim Shayusham Holehem Delosais. All of the entrances in the Beis HaMikdash had doors, very large doors or gates, Chutz Mishal Ulam, except for the entrance into the Ulam, which was separated by a curtain, instead of actual doors which would be opened. Kol HaShe'arim Shayusham, all of the gates or doors which were in the Beis HaMikdash, Holehem Shkeifos, had regular lintels, meaning the top of the doors were flat, the doors were rectangularly shaped, and closed on a regular lintel at the top. The lintel is the top part of the door frame on which the door closes. Chutz Mishar HaTodi, except for the gate called Shar Todi, the Todi gate, Shehoyu Shom Shtei Avonim Mutoi Zo Al Gavzoi, that there were two stones which were placed diagonally, leaning on each other. So instead of the gate sort of ending as flat, like a regular rectangle, it went upwards with two diagonal stones leaning against each other. Continues the Mishnah, Klasha Orim Shehoyu Shom, all of the gates which were in the Beis HaMikdash, although originally they were made out of copper, because when the Jewish people came back from the exile of Bavel after the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and they came to rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash, they didn't have such extreme finances, and therefore they couldn't afford to make the doors out of gold. So they made them out of copper. And later on, when they had the necessary finances, Nishtanu L'Yishal Zohov, they were changed to be gold. Chutz Mishar Nikonar, except for the Nikonar gate, which was on the eastern side of the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, and was the main gate for entering into the courtyard, the main courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, those they kept with the original copper gates of Nation Asabah and Nais, because a miracle occurred with those gates, like we mentioned earlier on in the Masechta, that the doors floated together with the ship, which came from Alexandria, Viesh Omrim, and according to other opinions, the reason why they didn't change those doors is not because a miracle had occurred with the doors, but rather because their copper gave a golden shine anyway. So for aesthetic purposes, there was no need to change it into real gold doors. Mishnah Daled, this Mishnah continues to list a few commonalities which existed across the Beis HaMikdash, with an exception. Kol HaKesalim Shayusham, all of the walls which were across the Beis HaMikdash complex, Hayu Gevoyim, were very tall. We mentioned that the gates and the entrance ways were 20 amos tall. The height of the walls which were above the gate and on the sides of the gate were much, much taller. There's a debate how tall exactly. Chutz Mikos HaMizrahi, except for the eastern wall of Har Bayis, that wall had to be shorter because Sha'akoyin HaSorev HaPorah, when the Koyin Godol would burn the ashes of the Porah Aduma, the red cow, which was used to make a solution for purifying people who had become tome, impure. When they would go through the procedure of making that solution with the ashes of the cow, they would do so, Omed Beresh Har Mishra, he would stand on the top of Har Azesim, which was a mountain which was next to Har Abayis, which was the mountain on which the Beis HaMikdash stood. And it's learned from Pesukim that he had to be able to see the entrance to the Heichal, the building of the Beis HaMikdash, from where he was standing on Har Azesim. And he would sprinkle the blood of the cow in a similar way to how the blood of a korban, a sacrifice, is sprinkled towards the Mizbeach. He would have to sprinkle the blood of the Porah Aduma, this red cow, towards the Heichal. Umiskavin v'roya b'fizcha shel Heichal, he had to concentrate and make sure to be able to see the entrance of the Heichal, the building of the Beis HaMikdash, b'shas hazayis hadom, at the time that he sprinkled the blood of the cow. And if the wall of Har Abayis was too high, then it would be blocking his view from being able to see the entrance of the Heichal. If you think about it, he would have to look through the gate of Har Abayis, through the gate which entered into the Beis HaMikdash, into the inner courtyard, all the way to the gate of the Heichal. There were a number of gates which he would look through and be able to see the entrance into the Heichal. And for that reason, the wall of the Har Abayis cannot be built too high, because it would block his view. And this is only a problem with regards to the wall of Har Abayis, not the more inner walls, because Har Abayis was situated lower down than the rest of the Beis HaMikdash. As we've been seeing, there are steps. The more inwards one goes towards the inner parts of the Beis HaMikdash, So the entrances and the gates would be higher up, so you would be able to see those. This was only an issue with regards to the wall of Har Habayis. Mishnah Hey, the Mishnah continues to lay out the dimensions of the different parts of the Beis HaMikdash, and now we've passed Har Habayis, we've passed the Chel, the space of 10 Amos, in between the Soireg, the fence, and the walls of the Beis HaMikdash. We've gone up the steps towards the walls of the Beis HaMikdash, and now we've entered into the outer courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, which was called the Ezras HaNoshim, literally the courtyard of the women, because women would generally not enter further inwards beyond this point of the outer courtyard, unless they had to bring a korban, a personal sacrifice. Be it as it may, this outer courtyard, it had a length of 135 amos and a width of 135 amos, so it was one large square. There were four large chambers in the four corners of this very large courtyard. And remember, the courtyard didn't have a roof. The courtyard was totally outdoors. And Shalar Barim Arbarim Amor, each of these chambers in the corners was also square-shaped of 40 by 40 amos. And even the chambers didn't have roofs on top of them. And indeed, in the future, when the third Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, b'mehira v'yomeinu, speedily in our days, the chambers which will be in the four corners of the outer courtyard will also not have roofs. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, in Yechezkel, when the prophet Yechezkel received a prophecy describing the third Beis HaMikdash, and he was shown the third Beis HaMikdash by an angel, a malach, so the Pasuk says, Vayitzi eini ala chotzer achitzoina, and he, the malach, the angel, brought me out to the outer courtyard. This is referring to what we are talking about. Ve'avi reini ala bas miktzei achotzer, and he led me past the four corners of this large outer courtyard. Ve'hine chotzer b'miktzei achotzer, chotzer b'miktzei achotzer. There was a kind of courtyard, this is referring to each of the chambers, in each of the corners of the courtyard. Bar Bas Miktsoyos Achotzer. It was on all four corners of the main courtyard. Chatzeyos Keturais. Mini courtyards, this is referring to the chambers, which were Keturais. And the Mishnah says, Ein Keturais, Elash Einam Mekairais. The term Keturais expresses the idea that they did not have roofs. Some explain that the term keturis refers to the expression of smoke rising upwards, and the point is that the smoke which came from the fires which were in these chambers, as we're about to describe, would rise upwards, and they were not blocked at all by a roof on top. By the way, the reason why the Mishnah at this point specifically references the third Beis HaMikdash is because in the first Beis HaMikdash this was not the case. And in fact, the only reason why they knew that it was supposed to be like this in the second Beis HaMikdash is because of a comparison that they learnt from this prophecy itself describing the third Beis HaMikdash, and that's the reason why in the second Beis HaMikdash they built the chambers in the outer courtyard in this manner. And what were these four chambers used for? Dormus Mizrachis, the southeastern chamber in the corner of the courtyard, Hiyai Salishka Sanazirim, that was the chamber of the Nazirim. A Nazir is somebody who accepts upon himself certain restrictions. For example, he can't cut his hair, he can't drink wine, he can't become impure from a dead body, and at the end of his period of being a Nazir, he's obligated to bring certain korbanos, certain sacrifices. And the Mishnah says that Sheshom, over there in this chamber, Hanazir Mavashlan Shalmehen, the Nazirim, a Nazir who would bring his sacrifice, one of his sacrifices was a korban shalomim, which is a korban, a sacrifice that he himself would eat, so he would be able to cook that meat from the korban in this room, umagalchanes sa'aron, and they would shave his hair, which is another part of the procedure at the end of him being a nazir. They would shave off all of his hair, umashalchan tachas adud, and throw it underneath the pot which was cooking the meat of his shalomim. All of these requirements are learnt from the psukim. Mizrachas tzfeines, the chamber which stood in the northeast corner of the outer courtyard, hi salishka sa'itzin, that was the chamber of the wood which was burnt on the Mizbeach was kept there. Sheshom HaKoyanim Balimum Maslino Eitzim. That's where Koyanim who had blemishes, which meant that they were not able to perform part of the actual service in the Beis HaMikdash, they were nevertheless able to take part in checking the wood which would be used for the Mizbeach. They would check for any worms, any wood in which worms were found, would be invalid for use on top of the Mizbeach. The truth is, this wasn't the main area of the storage of the wood. Only the wood which was needed for that day would be brought into that room, and it would be checked by these Kayanim. Tzfonis Ma'arovis, the chamber which stood in the northwest corner of the outer courtyard, that was the chamber of Mitzrayim. Imitsoyo is somebody who has tsaras, a certain disease on their skin, which makes them impure, and they are obligated to bring a korban, a sacrifice, or more than one sacrifice at the end of their period of impurity. And they had to go through a whole procedure in the Beis HaMikdash, and before doing so, they would immerse themselves in a mikveh, a body of water, to purify themselves in this chamber. And finally, Ma'arovis D'Remis, the southwestern corner, the chamber in that area of the outer courtyard. What was that used for? Omar Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov, fascinating line of the Mishnah. Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov said, Shochachti me'ayis ha-mishameshes. I forgot what this was used for. Interestingly, there is a proof from here that Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov was the one who wrote down Meseches Midas, the Meseches which we're learning, because otherwise he wouldn't come along and say that I forgot what it was used for. We see that he was the one who was saying this entire Masechta, so he now says that I forgot this particular detail. And Abba Shol says, Shol ha'inoistin yayin v'shemen, that is the chamber in which they would place the wine and oil which was needed for the various services in the Beis HaMikdash. And he hoisa nikos lishkas beis shemanya, it was called the chamber which held the oil. Shemanya comes from the word shemen, which means oil. And now the Mishnah continues to discuss the structure of the courtyard, the outer courtyard, the Ezra's Noshim in its entirety. Originally, the walls of the courtyard were totally smooth. However, later on, they constructed a balcony going around the entire courtyard towards the top, that on Sukkos, when there would be incredible joy and dancing in the Beis HaMikdash, and everybody would come to watch and take part, in order to prevent the men and women intermingling, the women will be able to see all of the dancing from the top on these balconies, and the men would be, so to speak, downstairs in the actual courtyard. And this was Kadesh Lo Yumaravin, so that the men and women would not mix together. And now the Mishnah continues to go more inwards in the Beis HaMikdash. There were 15 steps going up from the outer courtyard to the Ezras Yisrael, which was the beginning of the main courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. And the significance of this number 15 is Keneged Chamesh Simalis Shabbat Tehillim. It was corresponding to the 15 chapters in Tehillim, the Psalms that David HaMelech wrote, which begin with the words Shir HaMalis, the song of the steps. And although in general, when the Levium would sing at the time that a korban, a sacrifice, is being offered up, they would do so inside the actual courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, like we described in Maseches Tomid. However, on Sukkos, when all of this joy and dancing took place, and everybody came to the Beis HaMikdash, at that point, Shalein al-Levim im Bashir, the Levim would stand on those steps at the edge of the outer courtyard where everybody would be, because specifically in the outer courtyard, that was the large area where everybody, even non-Kohanim, could be. So Levim would stand on those steps and sing. Lohoi Terutos, the steps were not straight and long, Elam Ukofos, rather they were in a semicircular shape. They were rounded, Kachatzigo and Agula, like half a round threshing floor, meaning it was a semicircular shape. This way there would be more room for Levim to stand, as well as for aesthetic purposes, that this simply looked nicer and more respectable. Mishnah Vov, the previous Mishnah taught that there were 15 steps leading up from the outer courtyard, the Ezras Noshim, into the Ezras Yisrael, which is the beginning part of the main courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. We learnt earlier on in this perek that the height of each of these steps was half an amor, which means that altogether these 15 steps took up a height of 7.5 amos, which means that the main courtyard was 7.5 amos higher up than the outer courtyard. There were chambers which were underneath the main courtyard in this height of 7.5 amos. And the chambers opened up to the outer courtyard. From there, one could enter into these chambers going underneath the main courtyard. That the Levim would place their harps on a volim and lyres, which is another type of stringed instrument that they would use, and the cymbals, and all of the musical instruments they would store over there. Now the Mishnah describes the actual inner courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, the main courtyard in which many of the services would take place. And inside that courtyard itself, the first part of it was Ezras Yisrael. It was called the Ezras Yisrael, the courtyard of the Jews. Even non-Kohanim were permitted in this area. It had a length of 135 amos, which, as we've already seen, was the length of the Beis HaMikdash itself, from the north to south direction. And it had a width of 11 amos, v'chein Ezras Kohanim, and likewise the Ezras Kohanim, which was already the area of the courtyard into which only Kohanim could enter. And this refers to the area beyond the Ezras Yisrael, and in between there and the Mizbeach. So you saw, Oirech Meor Shesh Mechomish, it had a length of 135 amos, Oirech Lachasre, and a width of 11 amos. V'roshe Pispsim Mavdilim bin Ezras Yisrael Ezras Kohanim, the tops of beams, there were small wooden blocks which were on the floor and which split. They were a signal for separating between the area that even non-Kohanim were allowed to be and the area where even only Kohanim could be. Reb Lezman Yaakov says that not only were there wooden blocks, but there was a much better signal and separation, and that was Ma'ala Ha'isah. There was a step going from the Ezras Yisrael to the Ezras Kohanim, which means that the rest of the courtyard, where only Kohanim were allowed, was actually higher up than the 11 Amos area where even non-Kohanim were allowed. Ugvoya Amor, and the step was also one Amor tall. The Haducha Nosno Leha, and the platform was placed on it. The platform, the Duchan, was where the Levi'im would stand when they sang whilst the Korban was being offered up. Meaning at the top of the step, at the beginning of the main courtyard area, that is where the Duchan was, and the Duchan itself, it was made up of three steps, which were each half an Amor tall. So there was one step, which had a height of one Amor, leading up to the main courtyard, and at the beginning of that courtyard itself, there were another three steps, which each had a height of half an Amor, Nimtzis Ezras HaKohanim, Gevurim Ezras Yisrael, Shtem Amis Umechitza. It emerges that the Ezras Kohanim, which is the main courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, was higher up than the part of the courtyard where even non-Kohanim could be by 2.5 Amos in total. Continues Mishnah, Kol HaZorah, all of the courtyard put together, including the area where even non-Kohanim could be. Hoysa Oirech Meor Shmoinim Vosheva, it had a length of 187 Amos going from the east to west. Al Reich Meor Shleshim Vachomesh, with a width, of course, of 135 amos. And there were 13 points in this main courtyard that if somebody reached there, he would be obligated to bow down. Abba Yosef ben Chonon says, K'neged Shleish Osa Sh'orim, these 13 places where they had to bow down were not random. Rather, they were at 13 gates. When one passed any of the 13 gates of the courtyard, you would have to bow down. Now, one might ask, we learnt in the first perek, there were only 7 gates, 7 entrances into the courtyard. What are we talking about 13? We're going to understand simply that, indeed, Abba Yosef ben Chonon argues and he holds that there were actually 13 gates. Alternatively, everybody agrees there were 13, but there were 7 main gates and 6 minor gates. But as it may, the Mishnah now lists them. Sh'orim Dorimim Sechol Ma'arov, the 7 gates on the more western side of the southern side. Shar HaElyon, there was Shar HaElyon, Shar HaDelek, Shar HaBuchoyroi, Shar HaMayim. These are different names of the various gates which were situated over there. V'loma Nikra Shmei Shar HaMayim, why was this fourth gate called the Water Gate? Sheboi Machnisim Tzer Shemayim Shnosach Bechag, because it's through that gate that they would bring the container of water, which they would pour on the Mizbeach on Sukkos. That was the cause of the great celebration. Rabbi Lezman Yaakov says, V'vei HaMayim Mefachim V'asidim Yais Yaitz Metach Nifzan Abayis. In addition, it's through that gate that water will come bubbling in the future from underneath the edge of the Beis HaMikdash. This is referring to a particular prophecy in Sefer Yechezkel. Ul'umosin bat Sofein, opposite these gates on the northern side of the courtyard, Smuchen Mamarov, nearer to the westward direction, Shar Yechonya, Shar HaKorban, Shar HaNoshim, Shar HaShir, these are 4 different gates on that side. And the Mishnah asks, V'lomonikra Shmoy Shar Yechonya, why was one of those 4 gates called Shar Yechonya, the gate of Yechonya? Yechonya was the king at the time that the Babylonians destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and he Shabbo Yotzei Yochanan Begalusai. It's through that gate that Yechonya left the Beis HaMikdash after bowing down for the last time before going into the exile when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Referring, of course, to the first Beis HaMikdash, and that's why in the second Beis HaMikdash they called it Shaar Yechonya after that occurrence. Sheba Mizrach, the gates which were on the eastern side of the courtyard. Shaar Nikanor, of course, the main gate of Nikanor, which they brought from Alexandria, like we described earlier on. Shnei Pishpshin Hayulai, there were two smaller gates on the side of Shaar Nikanor, Echad Mimina Vechad Mismailai, one on the right side, one on the left side, with Shnaim B'Marov, and there were two other main gates on the west side of the courtyard. But since these were barely used, Lo Hayolam Shein, they didn't have any particular special name because of their infrequent use.